This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC. Hey, Christy.
Morning. It's summer. It's
summer. So Christy and I think a lot of times there's this belief that faculty and teachers are off in the summer, and that is not true.
No.
Christy just hosted an 8-day conference with bringing in world-renowned speakers, both in person and virtual. And now she is teaching 2 courses for 8 hours a day, twice a week.
Yeah. Well, the 2 courses total 8 hours a day, twice a week. Tuesday, Thursdays, I teach 2 4-hour courses, but I teach from 9 to 5 solid. I have a 15 minute break. Let me rephrase that. I do have a 15 minute break between the 2 classes, but I also have to get one group of students out of the classroom and the other in. And my second class has a lot of material and I have to get everything set up.
Yeah.
And my room is too small and it's just, sometimes being a faculty member is fun.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Yeah.
I love both classes, but it is very hard.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. I just, my 2 courses just ended, got grades in, and it turns out that being a department chair requires a lot.
So, and it's a year-round commitment.
Yeah, in and out of, it's really neat because I get to be in spaces where decisions are made and I really like having the opportunity to shed light into counseling and what that is, because I think it's important. Not everybody mm-hmm. understands what we do, but sometimes people don't care what we do.
Yeah, and I know this is not true in every program, but I find that in some programs that it's very similar to the community that we're having to explain what we do. Yeah. Validate what we do, advocate for appropriate funding for what we do.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we're beholden to an accreditation board that has very strong standards that I think are there standards. For a reason.
It's supposed to help us, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're, Maggie and I are also reeling, and please tune back in because we're about to host a special podcast on, natural disasters. I know my state was hit last year. Maggie and I both have been in Texas and our hearts are breaking for what's happening in Texas.
Yeah.
And then I'm also our state was hit with flooding again earlier this week because of the tropical depression. It's just more central and eastern. So I'm not seeing it on the western side of the state. But These natural disasters are happening left and right, and we want to have discussion about, as play therapists, mental health clinicians, how do we support, what is the need, what is our own grief and loss, how do we support people through grief and loss, and just the high stress moments and uncertainty of these natural disasters. So please tune into that.
Dr. Jen Wick-Balch was on last week. And so this week we are kind of extending that conversation for play therapists, right? How can we support this? But also for parents and caregivers and friends, how can you support using, and it's also an introduction to our next series on skills. So I think this is kind of ties it all in, because these skills, yes, obviously they are fundamental to the work that we do in the play space, and they can be really helpful for parents who are really struggling, or caregivers, right? In Texas, I think there's about 3 or 4 little girls who passed away there in the same elementary school. So this is it's a lot, and a lot of people are going to be impacted. Obviously the families that lost loved ones, but their friends, their communities, it's a tough spot. It's awful. And so I think a lot of times we, as adults and caregivers and teachers, we're not really taught these skills. They're not just, so we want to give them away at this point. So it's kind of like an overview today, and then we'll be going more in depth with each skill, what it looks like, and then also how we use it in examples. So,
and our hope is to talk about the skills, the purpose of them, how you use them, when to use them, and then give some examples in the playroom too about how Maggie and I have seen these skills be beneficial for children.
Yeah, with children in our real lives, with dogs in real life, I think and we've talked about this so many times, Christy, how taking this course was, entering into play therapy really kind of, it was like a light bulb or solidifying moment for who we are fundamentally. And I think it can be really helpful. So our hearts.
Yeah. I want to pull up, because we got that. I think I shared that email I got from a former student who took intro to play therapy with me, and then is now a parent. Mm-hmm. And just how thankful she is. I was going to try to pull it up really quick.
Yeah. It definitely helps. And also, that doesn't mean that I think we've talked about this all the time. Doesn't mean that we use calm play therapy skills at all times in the real world. There are times that we call it losing our chicken at our house, and I lose my chicken. So that's fine.
Right. It was a very sweet letter just to say how much, these skills have impacted her personal life on top of just her professional life, and has made parenting a little easier. So our hope is that by sharing these skills with clinicians and the community, that we can increase the responsiveness for children and make caregivers' lives a little easier, hopefully.
I hear a horde of children upstairs, so we may get to practice these skills real time, guys. You may get to hear it. One of the best things, I was teaching during COVID, I was teaching play therapy virtually, and we were talking about limit setting, and the kids came down, and I was like, in real time. And they were like, oh, that's how this is it.
Yeah.
What we do. So what do you think, Steve, is like the foundational, like what's like the one we should start with?
Well, I think the foundation of all of our skills is reflective responding. Yeah. So that's the reflection of feeling, reflection of content, which is rephrasing wording back to kids that they've shared with you, like your understanding of their wording, tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the foundational pieces. And most of our other skills build off of that skill.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I teach filial therapy class or CPRT class at the university, and I share that this is the hardest skill to learn because it's so contrary to how we are taught to engage with people. And so we also teach it first, right? Because it's sometimes the hardest to learn, and it takes the most time to kind of build confidence and understanding of the skill. Yeah. Though it is foundational to what we do holistically, and our other skills some of them use these skills in layering of the skill. And so I think we should start there.
Yeah. And I think like one of the cool things about, I think, especially reflective, like reflecting of feelings and then reflecting of content, which is essentially kind of demonstrating that you understand the child, right? It's a different type of conversation. When we're in conversation, even the two of us, we're rarely like checking in to make sure we understand. We're just kind of bouncing off each other. And if you are a little bit neurodivergent like I am, it's like I'm thinking of what I need to say while you're saying your thing. How much am I actually listening? And so it switches that when you're with kids. And it's so neat when I do this out in the real world and I work, like see little kids and I sit down with them, like where you're trying not to hear it back. I think it becomes very awkward when you're just repeating back what someone says. But when you, you know, they're like, I had so much fun at the beach. I got to put my feet in and then I got stung by a jellyfish. I'm like, oh my goodness, you went on so many adventures. Right. And it's like, I'm reflecting back, not what they said exactly, you know, it's like, oh, you went in the ocean and got stung by a jellyfish, but reflecting, and even in the way you say it, you can reflect that emotion. And I think that's so helpful. It's like, you were so excited. You had so much fun. And that was really scary. You got stung by a jellyfish. Like you did not like that. And just that kind of switch, as opposed to, oh, okay, I've been to the beach before too, right? It's a different conversation. And you can see their little faces light up because you care. It's not usually when they're with adults.
Yeah.
They direct that conversation.
Well, and I think something that's unique, not just about these skills, but about the approach we use, is it's not about us being different in the playroom. Like these skills alter the way we respond to people holistically. Right. It goes back to Carl Rogers, one of his first books, right? Like a way of being. It really does alter the way you interact, engage with people holistically. So it's not about like putting a hat on and you're going to reflect, even though initially that's how it feels, because you really have to change your way of being. But Maggie and I also wanted to share skills. This is an area that we see clinicians, and especially newer clinicians, really struggling. And when we get out into the field and we're not in our training programs anymore, sometimes what we see is that we forget about some of these skills. So our goal really in this series, and we've done a lot of planning this summer in addition to all the academic things we do, but really wanting to open this chapter of our podcast to review skills. So this is a place that clinicians, caregivers can come to see, how could I respond differently? Or what other way could I respond? Or gosh, I forgot about that from reading this book, or my professor used to say that and I didn't get it until now, or whatever it was, right? My supervisor says I'm not doing this. And our hope is that this could be a way that you could come as just a little refresher. And so we do hope to hit most of the child-centered play therapy skills that we use. So just to give you guys a brief overview of the skills we're hoping to capture in this series. So this chapter will have subheadings as we go along, but reflective responding will be our first one. We're going to talk about choice giving, limit setting, returning responsibility or facilitating creativity, tracking, encouragement, nonverbal skills, decision making, esteem building, relational responses. And then we're going to talk about some specific techniques like the whisper technique that we may use in therapy. And so our goal is to kind of break down. We're going to spend the rest of the summer and maybe early fall going over these. The other thing we want to share with people is we're also some resources for you that you can use maybe with supervisees or if you're doing trainings. We call them one pagers. So it's an opportunity of just a quick cheat sheet on the skill itself, telling you more about it, the foundations of it, what it looks like, an example of it, and then some resources that you can tap into and pull to gain better understanding of these skills. And so that's kind of our hope in this series, in this chapter of our series, to help clinicians really maybe dive deeper or just reflect on your own practice. And again, Maggie and I, our goal is not only just to tell you about it, but how we see it play out so that you can see both sides of it. So here's the skill, And then what does that look like in real life, right? Like both in maybe personal lives, kids, adults, teens, because these are not just kids skills. These are everything we're going to talk about are relationship skills, right? And ways to enhance relationship. And so our goal is also to give examples so that you can go back to, it might cause it to be split into two podcast episodes, but our ultimate goal is that you could walk away and have quite a bit of resources to tap into and to look into as we go forward. And it's something we've heard from clinicians as something that they are wanting.
One of the things that I see a lot in my students, and we've had this conversation about like wanting a script, right? And so these are not skills that you can really script. Like you, it's all, you practice them and hold them, and then you decide, you know, like you're figuring out which, when to use what and why. And the why is really important in understanding what your goal is and your purpose. And I think it might be neat as we've introduced all of these at the end of this to be like, okay, so here's a way you could use each of these skills with this scenario, because they're layered and they're nuanced. And I can't, neither of us can say, oh, you need to do this then. Or if a child does this, you say this. And I think that it would be really awesome, right? If, well, I mean, would it be awesome? Because then we'd all be replaced by AI. I think like there's a human aspect of this and an intuition, and the intuition driven by the relationship that you have with the child that really drives this. And I don't know about you, Christy. There are times when it comes as second nature, and then there are times and situations that I have to really think, and kind of going back to what's happening in Texas right now, being from Dallas and knowing a lot of people that are impacted by this, I find myself like not wanting to call or bother them, but like hovering over this text of like, do I reflect feeling? Do I reflect this? Do I, you know, am I encouraging? Yeah. Am I doing? And really kind of trying to be purposeful. And I think that that's something that was really helpful with Dr. Jen Ware of like, how do you respond in grief situations? Because there isn't a script. And again, like you're intuiting and you're using that relationship. So that might be helpful at the end of like, these are all the different ways in which these skills could play out in this situation. Or like, because in most of these situations, you can use a lot of them. I mean, granted, you're not going to set limit setting all the time, but you know.
But you know, I think the other interesting thing to these skill sets, and as you were talking, Maggie, and one of the things I love about this profession, right, is you also have to trust yourself in this process. There is, because there is no manualized script. When someone says this, you respond this way, right? And our own unique like ears that we're tuning into and just who we are as individuals may have us respond differently. So I think it would be interesting to hear, you know, like you may respond this way and I may respond this way, or you might've heard this and I might've heard this, right? Because our hope is people start to believe in themselves and to like tap into, you know, what their heart and their gut and their head are telling them. And then also that there are multiple ways you can respond. Because sometimes I sit and I hear people talk about it and it's like, this happens and then this happens. And I'm like, that's so interesting, because that's not, I wouldn't have gone that direction, or I may have gone this direction, or that's not what I heard at all. Do you know what I mean? And so we have to realize our own authenticity has to come into this process.
I do. I think it's, and it's, I mean, obviously I've shared this so many times, like you're an excellent play therapist and you're someone that I admire and I appreciate you. I also think I'm pretty good, right? Like I'm going to have to just own that. And you and I have different interests and experiences. I think one of the coolest examples for those of you who listened to the episode with Dr. Ray about the differences between Christy and I and how we experience and interpret things, of a story that Dr. Ray used to tell us in class. And I took it from the child personality perspective, because that's what I'm interested in. And Christy took it from the attachment perspective. And we were both right. But it's also the ways in which our, you know, we are people and humans, and we have personalities and we have things that we're interested in. And so we're going to clue in on different things. And so I think it's important, especially when working with supervisees and students, and I want you guys to hear, is that we may say different things, right, than what you said or what you thought, and it doesn't make it wrong. It just is different ways of doing things. And I think that's why the beauty of it not being manualized, because we're able to be ourselves authentically while still impacting and hopefully connecting with that child in an authentic and genuine way.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It is cool. And so as we dive into this chapter of our podcast of really like exploring skills, you know, we hope that you as a listener reflect on like, how might you respond? Yeah. You know, we reflect this or we did this. You might have gone in a different direction. And why is that? Mm-hmm. Right? Because the way Maggie and I respond, it may not be the only option. And that's why we want to make sure we utilize and share as many of the skills that we use in play therapy. Mm-hmm. So that you have that opportunity to really authentically and personally reflect on how you want to and what you might do in those scenarios. We also wanted to bring the skill to life because it can get pretty dry.
Yeah. And it's so fun. Like one of my favorite activities, I don't think you do this in your class when you teach the play therapy or CPRT, but I use a lot of times the workbook.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I have them, they're supposed to do it at home. They very rarely do the workbook at home. But I like them to do it at home and then come in, because most of them will have different ways of responding. So this workbook that I'm talking about is like, it's what Giordano, Landreth, Jones. It's like an accompaniment to the art of the relationship. And it gives different scenarios. And then how can you respond? And it's really cool to see all of the different ways, or like, we'll play a video on mute. I'm like, okay, everybody say, what could this be? And it's so fun to hear all of the different ways in which people could respond or the things that they're picking up on. And mm-hmm. So I really hope that can be an opportunity for our listeners to maybe even like pausing it and being like, oh, what would I have said? Or how would I have responded? Because that's the goal, right? Is we believe in this so much, and we've seen it transform ourselves and the relationships and our ways of being and children. And so we want y'all to be able to have these skills too, whether you're a play therapist who's been in the field for a long time and wants a refresher or a different perspective, or a teacher who's working in Dallas with a bunch of kids that are hurting, or a parent that has a kid who's struggling or emotional, and or just a person in life.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just a train of thought that just kind of fizzled out, I guess. I think this will be I'm really excited about this chapter, and we are really interested. We are getting so many followers and people who are listening, and we're so grateful. And we want to be able to provide you with things that are tangible and real and thought provoking. And so if you have other ideas or things that you are interested in us exploring together, or if there are people that you really want to hear from and talk to, right? We just, Dr. Balch, and then also, you know, we just had Dr. Rachel Alvader. We're really lucky in where we're positioned within the play therapy space, not just our company, but, you know, just the play therapy world. And so, especially because Christy does so many trainings and workshops, and that, you know, we can reach out to people if you're interested in hearing from them. So let us know, because, you know, we like it. I also think one of the best compliments that we've received thus far by a guest was Dr. Rachel Alvader said that it was like Hot Wings Challenge, because we were asking really deep questions. And I think that's what we hope to do, I think, is really getting to the heart of who people are and what they're doing, just without the burning and necessity for milk on hand or signing up a waiver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that goes, Maggie and I think deeply about the work that we do and why we do it and how we teach it and other stuff. So some of the questions we ask comes from our own personal curiosities as we dive into the deep work within our own practices and our own teaching and our own supervision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Yeah, come join our Hot Wings Challenge.
Your Hot Wings Challenge. Play there. I don't even, we need to think of something. Also, we're trying to figure out what we should call our group and our listeners.
I
You
know.
know, like they have the armchairies for armchair expert. Who are we, guys? Let us know. We should hear from you guys. What
Yeah, what do you want to be called?
are play peeps? That's like not, I don't know. I feel like I'm not creative in that realm.
Our SpaceX.
SpaceX.
What does ChatGPT say?
I bless it. It's been very helpful. But anyways, I really appreciate you being here and our conversations, and I'm excited to kind of tackle these skills with you and what they look like.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're excited about it.
We seem pretty mellow right now.
And well, it's it yes. I'll be honest, I am just recovering from teaching from 8 hours straight. And I signed up to go to the gym this morning for a class, which I don't know why I did that. It was good. It was a great workout, blah, blah, blah. But so I'm also just tired.
That could be a whole
Yeah.
episode of how do we take care of ourselves as play therapists. I'm not very good at it. I don't
Oh,
think.
we've done
Maybe I'm
it.
better than I think I am. I don't know.
We've done that podcast,
Have
Maggie.
we?
Yes. We have.
I need to listen to it on repeat and remind
I
myself,
know, right?
like, what is it that I do?
I know. But I think Maggie and I are really passionate about helping the play therapy community, strengthen its skill set, which is why we're doing this next chapter of skills and other stuff. So we hope you join us for this. If there is a skill that we didn't cover or you have a question about something, please let us know because that's
What?
cute. There's a
What?
lot. I was like, the toy talkers,
Oh, the toy talkers.
the play partners,
Yeah.
CCPT tribe.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, the be withers.
Oh, I kind of like that too.
I know.
And
But
chat.
thank you, ChatGPT.
I
If
know.
people have other ideas, let us know. We would love to know. I'll put it up on like a
Good
little Facebook
post.
post on it. The tracking crew,
Oh,
the center sitters. I don't really love
I
that.
like that one.
Playfully present.
Oh, I like that one.
The child's voice collective. I don't like that one.
That feels like a.
The reflective players. Toy talkers, the floor sitters.
Floor sitters. Oh my God, that's exactly. Dr. Harvey Peters, I know I've shared this, but he was like, I know people who went to UNT because they sit down on the floor and they go, hi. And every, like, I'm always on the floor. People are like, do you want to sit in a chair? I'm like, no. And when we get
But
together,
that's more about UNT than it is child-centered play
probably.
therapy.
I don't know. I feel like we're all just like, we're so used to just like,
Yeah.
hey, we'll go. What do you want? Maybe it is UNT. I don't know. Maybe it's just play therapists in general. Maybe we're just owning that as UNT and it's just really everybody.
I don't know. Tell us, listeners. I
Yeah,
don't
let us
know.
know. Do you sit on the floor in
I
social?
know. We should just do a cutout of all of this, and as we're trying to figure out what we want to be called, as like a little short video.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you,
All
Christy.
right.
I'll see you
Have a
later.
great appointment. I'll see you on
Thank you.
Friday.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Okay.